he wants us to compare every one of these things that he's talking about in the spiritual realm. And so I thought I shouldn't pass this up. So beginning in 105, reading Reader's Digest here not long ago, where young girls are going through their menopause, and men, the change of life between 20 and 25 years old. They're going through their middle age. See, corruption. And, you know, we've talked about the women many, many times, but you notice here he says the men and the women. He's bringing both of them in here, and then he's going to tell us why. He asks the question next. He says, why? Because of scientific research of food and stuff that's broke down from the natural things we should put in our body. We are nothing but a bunch of dying corruption. Amen. And then I had some notes there. I didn't take them out, so I'm just going to read them. Brother Branham said, the physical breakdown of the body doesn't allow women to have children. That's what happens. If a woman goes into menopause at 25 years old, she's done having children. So she's passing over that time. And so he's talking about it taking place in the natural. And in the spiritual, the breakdown of the church body, supposed to be the body down, does reproduce Jesus Christ in the natural or in the spiritual. It breaks down the spiritual understanding of the people. And the thing that Brother Branham said, just like the natural, it's the food. See? The spiritual food is hybrid and corrupt. And the people become spiritually weak and are dying, not able to reproduce Jesus Christ, the Word for the age. So the same thing that he's saying in the natural realm is the same thing that's taking place in the spiritual realm. And the people, he says the body's just becoming mush. It's just becoming a corruption, where it doesn't have the strength that it used to have, and it doesn't have the memory that it used to have. It doesn't have all of the features that we should have. All of them are becoming less and less and less. And it's the one thing I noticed in other countries is their eyesight is so much better than ours. Their hearing is so much better than ours. And for many different reasons, part of it's the food, part of it is the atmosphere. I know when I was young, they in school, they played the music so loud that I did. And so even we were in the vehicle, we just blasted the music. And that's why I kind of joke with them in Kenya. I told them, I said, that's you're going to have the same problem in these because of these mats. Some of the public transportation, the music is so loud that it's just blasting the eardrums. And so I told him, I said, you're going to be another 20, 30 years down the road, and being one of those hearing doctors is going to be a big business here, because people are going to need hearing aids. And so, but that's what was happening here when I was young. When I was a teenager, 40, 50 years ago, that's what it was. It was the loud music, and then that had loud noises and stuff, and so never hardly ever wore protection, and so those things have an effect. But Brother Branham said also the food is breaking down the people. And the thing I wanted us to see is it's the spiritual food that's breaking down the church. It's the spiritual food that is making them reproduce something besides Jesus Christ, reproduce something besides the Word for the age. It's we need to come back to the real food. Both in the natural and in the spiritual, we need to have that real food. And when we do, it's going to give us the right kind of strength and do the right thing for us. Paragraph 106. Now that's what the church is also, in the same condition, from the natural to the spiritual. If this, what did he give the, he was saying just recently he had read that article in Reader's Digest, so I would assume that would be 1965. And so the same thing in the church, those things were taking place right there. And it's still, you think now where it's got to. Of course, now there's been so much hike and everything about it. Some of them are backing off of it, and they're trying to get some things more healthy, more natural. But we've gone so far past it now. We've gone so far past it now till Brother Branham even talked about the children being born with their teeth, having buck teeth and their teeth being crooked and different things. He said that's from hybrid food. It's from eating those things, and it changes somehow the hormones or whatever in the body and causes discorruption. See, she has the same precious virtues by spirit given to her to preserve the spirit and the word, and never commit adultery with anything of the world or anything. See, this is the bride now. It's supposed to be all of the church, but they're not doing it. They're corruption. But for the bride, this is her duty right here, to preserve the spirit and the word. Never commit adultery with anything of the world or anything. Stay virgin to the word. As a woman is to stay virtuous to her husband, see, it's a sacred trust to honor her Lord's word above every man-made creed, wisdom, denomination that there is. The church is given that trust. Think about it now. He's bringing it in the natural, bringing it in the spiritual. And so, you think, Brother Adam mentioned many times how that Sarah called Abraham Lord. And so, she respected him. She respected his position. And that's what God called a woman to do, is to respect her husband as the head, as the leader of the home and the family. And when she leaves that leadership, she's leaving God's provided way, because God put that there. And so is it in the spiritual. So is it in the spiritual when we leave off the word, when we leave off the leadership of God, then we fail. We are turning God away. And so it's just like when we come in here, we come in here to worship God. We come in here to hear from Him. And so it should be a serious time. I was thinking just recently where Brother Branham was talking about Billy Graham's meetings. How that he watched, and I think maybe he's seen a clip on television or something like that. And he said Billy Graham made an altar call and said the people were getting up and they were going down. He said they were just punching each other and laughing and chewing gum and carrying on. And they said there was no sincerity. There was no nothing. And so that's the same thing. You can come right here and sit under the anointed word, and if there's no sincerity, if there's nothing in you desiring to hear the word of God, if there's nothing in you feeding on the word of God, and your mind is somewhere else and you're thinking about everything else, and you're really just passing the time. You just come for, you feel obligated for some reason to come, or that to satisfy that religious spirit. Oh, I go to church. I go every time. I go most of the time, or I do this or I do that. But are you feeding? Are you feeding on the word of God? Is there something happening on the inside that you are actually communing with God? When the word of God is being ministered, is there a relationship that's taking place and that you are actually receiving from Him? Think about it. Because if there's anything else going on, then you're not. And if we're not, if it's not in union with Him, then there's only one other union. And Brother Branham, we read it, I think, Sunday. And we read it back in the series before this when we were talking about when the Spirit of Truth has come. Brother Branham said that when Eve broke the Word of God, said she, then Satan become her master. She had separated herself from God. And when a woman refuses to listen to her husband, refuses to obey her husband, she not only has broke the fellowship with her husband, she has broke her fellowship with God. Because that is God's word. That is God's commandment. And so, I know the problem today is men don't hold up their place. Men don't stand as men anymore. Brother Branham said, you let your wife go out and do those things. He said, you're not a son of God. There's something wrong with your experience when you let her go out and do those things. So that's what's wrong with the church. That's what's wrong with the church. The preachers are not standing and telling what needs to be. It always comes back. You know, we put it on the woman, but it comes back to the man. It keeps coming back to the man. Because God put the man there as the ministers. God put the man there as the head of the house. And so if we're not going to say nothing about it, then we can expect she's going to go that way. But then after she's been told and she don't obey, then that's between her and God then. Now then it's just God's going to take care of it then, you can be sure. She has the same precious virtues by spirit given to her to preserve the spirit and the word and never commit adultery with anything of the world or anything. Stay virgin to the word as a woman is to stay virtuous to her husband. It is a sacred trust to honor her Lord's word above every man-made creed, wisdom, denomination there is. The church is given that trust. And if they say, well, my church says, I don't care what your church believes. If it's contrary to the word of God, stay away from it. Anything, Brother Branham said, anything or anybody who is against the word or off of the word, he said, that's your greatest enemy. Right there. That's pretty hard, don't you think? That's pretty hard. But when somebody is off the word and trying to take you with them, that's your enemy. So you can still love them. You can still try to help them. You can still try to lead them to Christ. But you don't let them lead you. And when they start leading you, then you have fallen. You have fallen from grace. And this thing is grace. This is God's grace revealed to the bride. The Bible said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mark 16 said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If a church preaches different from that, don't you die to that thing. Be born again into the Word of God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's how far it was to go. These signs shall follow them that believe. In all the world and every creature that will believe. Now, there's signs that are going to follow the believer in every age. And we're not just talking about healing. Not just talking about raising the dead. It's not just talking about these supernatural things. It's talking about a life that's being lived by the bride. And that life that's being lived is the word of the age. That's the thing she's got on display. She's manifesting the life of Christ in this day. See how we got away from it? Sure. But she is responsible for it. That's the thing. No matter how much we got away, no matter how much we got away, no matter how much we've been slacking on it, we're responsible. And we better come back to it. Wherever our slack places are, we must come back. We must come back to that. Now look what Hollywood has took the virtuous things from our women. This is nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. They're in the magazines. Brother Branham said the magazines, the TV, all of these other things, constantly. You read that junk, and you feed on that junk, and after a while, it starts to look good. It's the same thing. It's the same junk on our phones and on our iPads. You look at it, and after a while, it takes you the other way. It makes that stuff common. It makes that stuff look normal. And it's not normal. If it's against Christ, it's not normal. That's exactly their plan. Gays, lesbians, transgender is to make that normal. And if you see it every day, every day, every day, that's what we've done with the shorts. That's what we've done with the bobbed hair. That's what we've done with the clothes and everything else. Just make it normal, and people won't think anything about it, and the preachers don't say nothing about it. After a while, the preachers are doing it too. Same thing. Or the preacher's wives or whatever. Hollywood has taken the virtuous things from our women. And I'm sitting here looking at a dear old Sister Schrader. Many of the women here, Sister Moore over there, older women, remembers a few years ago, if their mother, or even them, would have walked out on the streets the way some of these women walk today, church members, they'd have locked the woman up for being insane. Just go back. Now, this has happened so fast in this age. In this last age, it's happened so fast. And then we see it in this country. You go back to the early 1900s, it was rare to see a woman in pants. It was rare to see a woman in shorts. It was rare to see the women dress in these things. But when it started coming in, it came in like a flood. And in the 20s, those things really began to flow, to flow, to flow. They just began to go. A lot of these other countries way behind America. They're way behind. Some of them, we used to be behind France. Brother Branham said we passed France. He said it used to be so filthy there, England, the filth out in public, the sex acts out in public. He said it was so bad he had to take his wife from the park. Or Billy Graham said, he was talking about him or Billy Graham won. I know for a fact myself, I watched it in India. I watched it when the television come. I watched it when the movie theaters come. I watched the difference in the attitude of the people. I watched the difference in the way the women dressed. When the movie theaters came in, rape went up. Women began to undress. Men, they began to do things. Before that time, you never seen a man and a woman touching in public. Never. You just didn't see it. Wasn't there. There was no rape in the paper. You didn't see that. It was such a rare thing. But after the movies come in, when I first went to Kenya, I marveled. Almost every woman in the city of Nairobi had on a dress. Within 10 years, I don't know, Brother Gumba, I would venture to say it could even be half. It could even be half. All the older sisters, still most of them wear a dress, but the younger people are wearing pants. They're wearing shorts. They're wearing different things. They're going away from it. They're going away from this thing. See? They would have locked the woman up for being insane. She forgot to put on her skirt. Well, if it was insane then, it's insane now. Brother, what's changed? What has changed? If 100 years ago, it was insane for a woman to walk out without her clothes on or not to have a dress on or just have something showing her skin, it was insane then. A woman had lost her mind to go out in public like that. God's word hasn't changed. Those things haven't changed. If it was insane then, it's still insane now. The problem is society's gone with it. Education has gone with it. Academia's gone with it. Politics has gone with it. The leaders have gone with it. The churches have gone with it. The preachers have gone with it. Everybody's going with it. Except one little group. There's one group that's not going with it. And I'm telling you, even the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals used to be the one group that was holiness. The Pentecostals was the one group that had long hair and the women wore dresses. And then they started cutting their hair. They started same as everybody else. They just went right with the rest of it. They're blind. Well, look, the whole world proves it's insane. They're proving it. See? The whole world proves it's insane. Look at the murders and things that's going on now in the world. See? Insanity. This is what I was looking for a while ago. And in 1950, it was 4.1% per 100,000 people, the murder rate. In 1965, it had come up 5.1. So in 15 years, it rose 1% from 4.1 to 5.1. By 1980, it had doubled to 10.2. And so it stayed in kind of in that area in the 8s and 9s. And in the last few years, the murder rate has actually come down. But the murder rate is now the amount of people and the amount of murders now is still tremendous. It's amazing. Thousands that are being killed every year. And the cities, some cities, it's like an everyday event. There's like people being killed every day in cities like Chicago. See, look at the murders and things that's going on in the world. See, insanity. The whole thing is coming to fulfill Revelations. What? The whole thing what? All of this insanity. This insanity is coming to fulfill Scripture. It's coming to fulfill the book of Revelations. These women acting the way they do is coming to fulfill the Scripture. The churches acting the way they do is coming to fulfill the Scripture. That's what he's talking about. The Scripture says it's going to be this way. See? We may get to it this week. See? Where those hideous sights, them is not natural. Them things are not natural. That's spiritual things that makes people scream for rocks and mountains and everything else to fall on them. Though he's identifying this. These are spiritual things they're going to see. Why? And what's doing it? Television, magazines, all of this filth, the internet, all this stuff on the phones that they're watching and being fed every day. I've always said one thing we can do. One thing we can do to know if we are spending too much time somewhere else. If the things that we read and the things that we look at online and everywhere else, what do we do more? Do we spend more time in the Word of God, or do we spend more time on those things? And if we spend more time on the worldly stuff, if we spend more time on everything else besides the Word of God, then we know we got a problem. We know we got a problem. Because if Christ is on the inside, we're going to have a draw. And it's going to be to this Word. It's going to be to this revelation. We're going to want to spend time right here. Amen. Them is not natural. That's spiritual things that makes people scream for rocks and mountains and everything else to fall on them. The complete, total insanity this world will go into right away. It's almost here, there, now. This insanity that he's talking about. Sister, there's no need to just keep beating a dead horse, but you look at where it's at. You look at where it's at now, how bad it is. If ever there was a time to identify people as insane. See, the secret to this, to me, the mystery to the whole thing is, just like it is in the Revelation, how a person can go to church. I've said this many times. I used to wonder how that the Lord God come on the earth, and he is the creator of heavens and earth, and he's walking among the people, and he opens the blinded eyes, and he heals the crippled on the Sabbath day, and he tells him to get up and walk and go his way. And the people then want to stone him and condemn him because he healed somebody who couldn't walk on the Sabbath day. Now, to me, that just was mind-boggling. Now, to me, that's insanity. But yet, in their religious idea, they're so blind to everything else. To only they can see this one thing that they've been taught and they've been told, you don't do anything on the Sabbath day. And now he's done something, they can't see that this is a million times above what they've had or what they're doing. And that's what's happening today. How can people say they believe God, that they believe that they worship God, that they've been born again, and then they can support I hate to keep bringing up transgender, but I'm just telling you, it is the destruction, the moral destruction of this nation. And what amazes me is that it's in every nation, or most of them anyways. I was surprised. I had a woman tell me several years ago, I was working for her, and she was a very wealthy lady, and I didn't have time to do her work, but I was trying to help her out because her bathroom had a leak and it messed everything up, and she needed the bathroom. And so I told her I would do it, and so we're talking, and she come from a very, very wealthy family, and her father had died, her husband had died, and so she was just left, and she was old. And so so we were talking one day about mission field and different things, and she said, you know, there's one thing that I have wanted to support. She wanted to send her money to. And she said, told me one of the countries, Russia or somewhere in the Soviet bloc, where they had like an underground railroad to bring out these transgender and the gays and them, for them to move around, because they could just be killed, because those countries, what they wouldn't put up with it, they would just kill them. And so, first of all, I thought out about something like that, and what makes you want to support something like that? I'm thinking, there's people on the streets right here in Charlotte. If you want to feed somebody, you want to clothe somebody, you want to put them in a house, there's in every country you can find the same thing. What makes you crave to support such a perversion? Such a perversion when you got opportunity to do so much good right here in your neighborhood. Insanity. I'm going to read it again. The complete, total insanity this world will go into right away. It's almost there now. This was 1965. Now we're at, what, 60 years later? Why, you see the footsteps of it. See, there it is. It's marching right out on the street, right down the church pew. Total insanity. Do things that a human being wouldn't even think of doing and being civilized. Huh? Look what Hollywood has done to the women. Look how it is. It's robbed the sacred virtues of the women. On and on we could go, see? All this she has lost. How did she do it? Because there's a subtle instrument called the church. Wow. Like there was in the Garden of Eden, a subtle person, the devil, walked into the church, just like he did the Garden of Eden, and deceived her into it. She is deceived. The woman thinks, she don't mean to be wrong. She didn't mean to be wrong. It wasn't willful. Huh? It wasn't willful. And a lot of people still, in the church today, it's not willful. They're deceived. See, the Bible said in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, she was deceived. And deceived is not when you willfully do it. It's when you're deceived into doing it. That's right. And that's just exactly what's happened today. She's been deceived by television, by magazines, by these people. And the thing we need to do is... I don't think it's fair anymore, because we used to just blast the television, and now we got it in our pocket. I mean, I had a pop up the other day that said I can put it was offering something, and I hit no, and it says, you're refusing. It told me, it said, you're refusing to have the TV in your computer. And so I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm computing. So it was like, are you sure this is what you meant to do? You hit the wrong button. If you mash this button, you're not going to have TV. And I was like, but the thing is, you don't have to have TV. It's all there. Everything's right there. She's been deceived by television, by magazine, by these people, all these fine things that they're going out on the street. Modern girls, they look at magazines, they look at pictures, they look on the street, they see the clothing in the shops, how Satan, the great instrument of hell, has come down amongst the people and deceived them into these things. And the woman thinks she is all right. Brother, sister, there's only one way that we can do this, and that is just like Brother Branham said about the Bible, it's the same way with this message right here. He said, this is a mirror. This is a mirror. And he said, when you look at it, if you don't see yourself reflecting back in what you're reading, then you know you're in danger. And you know you need to do something. See? The woman, she's dead. She's far from God. See? How she lost all this, how subtle it was. That's right. And he's not just talking about the women. He's talking about the men. When he says woman, he's talking also about the church. And the church is including both the man and the woman. So we're not putting this on one side. This is all together, all of humanity. Now, this is, I put Revelations chapter 3 in here. I wanted to get one part in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. See? And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mightest see. Amen. Your brother Branham said that gold is a Christ-like character. And that gold, he said, he counseled you to buy it of him. And you know what the price is? He said, there's a price for this Christ-like character. And he said, that price is a separation. It's separation from the world and from worldliness and the things of the world. And then he offers also this eye salve. And he said, this eye salve, he said, there's no charge for it. It's free. It's free. It'll open those eyes. Paragraph 119. Today, I want you to notice, Jesus spoke of it also. If you'd like to read it, Jesus made mention that this thing would come to pass. Did you know that? In his last hours, just before the crucifixion. What thing is he talking about? Prophecy, as Jesus was going to Calvary, he spoke prophecy. See, in Luke 23:27, see, and there followed him a great company of people and women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, see, that they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the womb that never bare, and the path which never gave suck. You notice we started in Reader's Digest, where the corruption of the body was making them where they couldn't even have the children. But then the corruption in the spiritual realm makes them not want to have children. They don't want to have them. Even if they could have them, they don't want to have them. That shows you the difference. It shows you the it shows you, remember we had it on the board. Watch three things: the condition of the women, the condition of the church, and the condition of the spiritual bride. And the spiritual bride is the one who she wants to reproduce her natural husband. She wants to reproduce her spiritual husband. See, blessed are the barren in the wombs that never, and the paps that never gave suck. Think today, a disgrace for her to have a child, see? And then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills cover us. What is he talking about? He's talking about that insanity. He's talking about that insanity where they would cry for the hills and the mountains. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall they do in a dry? Speaking of the day when women wouldn't no more want children. They would want a dog or a cat or something like that. But she don't want children. Why? She's an old Mother Hubbard, see? If she has a child, she don't want that. That's the remarks of Hollywood. It don't want this woman to be an old Mother Hubbard. So she'll have some operation performed to herself or one or him, see, that'll keep them from having children. They don't want it no more. I've heard men talk about it. I know men saying they years ago I knew men that were getting those operations done, and they come back and said, oh, I had it done today. I did this. I'm like, why in the world would you want to do something like that? Amen. Jesus spoke of it. What did he say? At that time, they'll begin to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Amen. She'll practice birth control so she can go to parties. She can't be bothered with baby nursing her. It'll disform her when she's pregnant, you see. It'll disform her. She won't look like she used to. And her husband, ignorant enough to let her go that way, she won't give him a child. Jesus spoke of it. And he said that when they were doing this, at that time, they're going to cry then for the rocks to fall on them. It's the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. It's right now. It's right now that these things are happening. The people are going insane. They'll pay great sums of money for cats and dogs to mother. That's right. She must mother something because it's a God-given nature to her. God put that there, and you can't take it away. Not. We used to hit pretty hard on the dogs and the cats and everything, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's a natural thing. It's when you refuse your husband. That's not the natural thing. That's not the right thing. Brother Ben talked about the bear. He talked about the bear, how he, when he hunted bear, and he talked about how that when she mated, every year when she mated, and then she went into her hibernation, and when she came out, if it didn't take and she didn't produce, said she would go hunt up. Because every year she would make them cubs go hibernate to themselves and get away because she was going to bring forth new children. And said then if she didn't, she would go find them cubs from last year and mother them all summer long. Stay with them until the next hibernation. It's a natural thing. That's why little girls, They play house. They play with babies. They play with those things. It's a natural thing to do that. God put it in there. And if a woman doesn't have a baby for her husband, she'll take a dog or a cat or something. She's got to mother something. It's a nature. See? Let's keep that in the spiritual. There's got to be something that God has called us to reproduce Him. That's the main That's the main thing, is to reproduce him. But to bear children for her husband and to raise it to the service of God, that's entirely all out of her line. See? She she'd be so disgraced if she did. By her sin-loving society of this 1965 type of women. A true picture of the modern church today. He keeps bringing it right back. Neither does the modern church want any of these here screaming, shouting, tongue-speaking Acts 2:38 youngins around her. Yeah, see? She don't want any of them whooping and crying and screaming. Amen, hallelujah. Why such a child would immediately put her out of her denomination. They had one like that in one of the churches. They'd throw her out right back. Why are you letting such stuff as this go along? Amen. So you see, she's pregnated with something because she's bringing forth members all the time. But she's not bringing forth Christ, the word of the age. That's where she's failing. She don't want none of them screaming, hollering, babbling, Acts 2:38, miserable creatures. Do you have this in your... Okay, you're not finding it. I thought I took all of it out. I was going to read it, and then I thought I might just read it later. I didn't want to pass it over because he's talking about Acts 2:38, and he actually mentions it about three times in there. And so I thought I got it out of mind, too. So I'm assuming, what's the next paragraph that you have? 134. Okay. And let me go there. Because I was going to, in this part where he's talking about, he's referring back to that, and I didn't want to leave it out because it's there. And so we're not going to leave stuff off or hide from something or be afraid to say something. If it's there, then we're going to face up to it. But I thought I might read those quotes when I get a little further in, and he's talking about the seven seals. And he already told us that God adds a new part in every day. And so you put it all together, and we know you come to the word age. And so we know that God is revealing it. God is bringing it out. And so let's pick up right there at paragraph 134. And we still got some time here. There. All together out of the reaches for her. She don't want that. No, indeed, you see. So bring forth a pair of painted face, short wearing, Jezebel society, illegitimate cats, they call them. I think it is, see? I think they call them cats. And look at that cat going there, see? Or something like that, you know? She was born or married, connected with the first husband. See, first Adam, by the adulterous wife of Eve. Adam's first wife. You say adulterous? Sure. Oh, she claims that this Adam, this first Adam, is dead. Oh, sure. He died a long time ago. I'm reborn again, she says. And I'm certainly married to the second Adam, Christ the Word. But notice what she loves. Watch her lover now. You want to see who she's in love with? The Word says this, but she said, my church says this. Then who's she in love with? Remember, the mirror. Remember the mirror. Remember, if we read it and then we make an excuse not to do it, there's something wrong. My church says this. Then who is she in love with? Who is her husband? Her own fruits prove what she is. Exactly right. Shows what she is. See, she was born first to Adam because that's her natural birth. See, and she never left that. That's a lover. She claims that she's born the second time to Christ. But her lover, notice, is Adam yet because she loves the world. That's her first birth, as he said. That's her first marriage. The first union. He's typing the first Adam with the second Adam. One is natural, one is spiritual. And another thing, notice what kind of children she's bearing. That tells what their papa is, see? Whether it's the first Adam or the second Adam. If the church brings forth a child of the second Adam, he acts the second Adam's way of acting, like they did on the day of Pentecost. That's the really true second Adam's children. See, right. Their nature is like his and hers. Yes, sir. Her daughters. Painted face, bobbed hair, wearing men's clothes, trousers. The Bible said for her not to do it. She cuts her hair. It's a shame to her. See? You say, shut up on that. That's what the Word says. I'm only pointing out nature. That's what she does. And her sons born out of her, rely on education, schooling, some Bible school, so-called, some great college that's supposed to be a long time ago, hatching them out in some sort of incubator style, denominational secrecy, religious, Cain-like, just illegitimate to the Word as Cain was, right? Just as illegitimate as Cain was, sure. Denominational seekers. You see what it is. I was thinking the other day, I don't know the right words to say this, to say it the right way. And because I never want to criticize the way somebody prays or that, because I think that's a sacred thing. And when you're praying to God. But to me, it's just like ministering the Word. When somebody comes with a nominal idea of what God is and who God is, you can hear them preach, and you automatically know where they are, that they're in that nominal area. It's just like you can take somebody who's preaching the message but never gets to the mysteries. You pick that up. You've grown in the Spirit enough that you recognize it. You know what's happening. You know they're preaching the message. They just never come to it and get it said. And so is it with a nominal person. They're so far away from it, yet they're talking about God and how great He is, how wonderful He is. And so it's the same way when they pray. And when they're praying, they're talking about the love of God and the wonderful this and the wonderful that. And you can, it's just something about it that it just, I don't want to say it sounds fake, but it's just something about it's not reality. It's like it's not real. And I know there's so many sincere people, and for some of them, it is real to them. But it's just, I notice sometimes the wording, and it's like a nominal prayer. It's just a nominal prayer, just like a nominal message or a nominal anything else, a nominal attitude to God. And they can cuss in one sentence and praise God in the next one. And so there's no, it's a different mindset. They haven't had the second birth. They're in their flesh, in their carnal mind, they're trying to believe God, they're trying to accept God, they're trying to serve God, but yet they spiritually, they haven't met Him yet. They don't spiritually know Him yet. And so it's a totally different place to be. See? God never did organize a denomination. He's always been against it. His Word is against it. But they hold right to it. So you see what they're bringing forth. That shows who their papa and mama is. See? Exactly. Just as illegitimate as Cain was. That's kind of a child he brought forth from Eve. They got away from the Word. Then see what she brought. That's just exactly what the church has brought. The same thing. Amen. That's exactly what Eve brought is what they're bringing to through the churches now. Can prove it to you by the Word. That's where education and civilization come through. Cain, right there. See, they claim to be sons of God, but they're not denominational bred, denominational school scholar, everything else. That's exactly right. And that's why some of these these other religions. They identify with the scripture. You can talk to a Muslim or different religions. They believe the Bible. They believe a part of the Bible. But they have a different idea, a different story. They still name Jesus in their religion, but they have a different view of who he was and what he did. They can talk about Abraham in their religion, but they have a different view or idea of who he was and what he did. And so you take it back. When you take it back, they were brothers. They had the same father. And then it comes down the line. The problem is, how are you going to feel? How are you going to feel when the scripture is saying that I loved this one and I hated that one? What are you going to do? The Bible says it. The very Bible says it. So what did he do? They started a new religion. Brother Gumbo was talking about it the other day. They started a new religion so to put their side above God's side. That's what they did, to bring it back up. You just can't get away from it. But the beauty of it is, if they had the spiritual revelation of it, it's not the flesh thing at all. It don't matter which natural seed you come from. We're beyond that. We're beyond that. It's the spiritual seed. And it don't matter where you come from. If you came from Esau or you came from Jacob or you came from whoever you came from. If God put his seed in there, that's a son of God. And just because you came from Jacob don't mean that you're a son of God. Maybe naturally, but not spiritually. No. That's exactly right. See, smart, subtle, my. So was the serpent, their father. See, subtle and scientific preachers as Cain was. That's exactly the same thing. You say, Brother Branham, is that true? Turn to Genesis 4:16. And Cain went from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after his son, Enoch. And on down to Tubal, on down, for they began, come designers of instruments, music, and so forth. Civilization came by Cain, right? Building cities, instruments, scientific men come by Cain. The serpent seed. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again. See? Knew her once, and she had two children. Search the scripture. She had Cain and Abel. One act, two children. They told me not long ago it couldn't be done. We got a case in Hollywood. We got a case in Tucson where a woman gave birth to a color child and a white child at the same time. And they say she can't do it. She can have two fertile seeds. See, they got it right in court now. I know dogs will do it. I've seen dogs. I've seen dogs that do it. Have different types of pups. Animals will do it. And she's got it there. The white man said, I'll support my own child, but not him. And the woman made the confession. She had lived with her husband in the morning and the colored man in the afternoon. See, the doctor says, if it's in the space of 24 hours, it'll happen. If there's another fertile seed there, and there she did it. That's right. That's exactly what happened here. See, Satan that morning in the serpent, and Adam that afternoon, she had two children, two sons. And Adam knew his wife again, the second time, and she bare a son. Remember, there's nowhere in the Bible said Cain was Adam's son. She was of that evil one, not Adam. See, the devil. See, knew his wife and had a son, called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me. See, that wasn't the real seed. Appointed me another seed instead of Adam, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to whom also there was born, called his name Enos. And he then began men of the Lord. Somebody has a seed. Not out of Cain's, that generation genealogy, but out of Seth's genealogy. So Cain is the evil one. And there come the serpent. See? There come the serpent right there. Amen. Praise be to God. God's got a seed. He's got a seed, and that seed is going to manifest him. That seed is going to reproduce him. And that seed is going to come God's provided way through the earth. And it's going to separate them from the world and the things of the world. And it's going to change their nature. And it's going to create a love of God in their heart. And if they love God, they're going to love the Word. And if they love the Word, they're going to have a relationship with the Word. And they're going to spend time with Him, the Word. Praise be to God. I tell you, I can remember years and years ago, Brother Keenan lived in a house back down here off one of the streets, somewhere by this little Exxon station. I think it's owned by an Indian. I used to go in there years and years ago. I haven't been in there in many years. But I think the person that Brother Keenan was renting from went to church in that little church right there beside the Exxon station. There was a little small church there. It wasn't a big church, fancy or anything. And so for some reason, we needed to go by there, and he needed to get something from the owner of the property. And so we walked up to the door, and it was getting ready for the evening service. And I looked in there on the board, and it told how many people had come to church that day. And it told how much the offering was. And it told how many people brought their Bible to church. And first of all, I thought it was odd that you would have that on a board, that it would even be an issue. That it would even be an issue. But the amazing thing was, not even 50%, I can't remember the numbers, but not even 50% of the people that came to church brought their Bibles with them. They didn't have their Bible. And I thought, wow, how do you go? How can you be a Christian and that's your sword, that's your shield, that's your everything, and you're going to go and feed upon the Word of God, and you don't bring it with you to church? And I just, that stuck in my mind for all of these years. And it's always been astounding to me to think that such a little fraction of the people would come without anything. You know, now we're so blessed. It sounds like we're really putting this down sometime, but we have the whole message right here too. And we have the whole Bible right here. And we have all the history books right here. And we have so much that we can gain right here. Right here. And we can carry it in our pocket. I can remember the early days going on the mission field. I had the hardest time. I wanted to carry every book. And I would leave off a lot of stuff. And I'd have a book. One time I had my handbag. It was like about 70 pounds, and I carried so many books with me. And then when they finally, when the computer started, then it was those big computers, and the batteries didn't last that long. And then I remember we used to buy these big old external batteries, an extra battery, and try to carry a couple of them. We'd charge them up, and they'd last, maybe 3 services, 4 services, and you have to get somewhere. Because in India, back in those days, the villages, there was no power. And we spent so much time out in the villages, there was no power, no nothing. So I was carrying the computer, carrying those batteries, but then I still carried several books because I was afraid that I wasn't going to have electricity. And so for all of those years, we carried everything. And now, if I wanted to, I could carry this right here. I could carry this right here, have messages there, have everything right there, right at our fingertips. But it's just like everything else. It's what's in here is how you're going to use that. What's in here is how you're going to carry yourself when you get in a group of unbelievers. It's what's in here, how you're going to act when you go around the family, when you go around people you work with or people that, just worldly people. It's what's in here that's going to stand. So you've heard that saying, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. See? And whatever, you have some weaknesses there, Brother Branham said, you better cover it up. There's something there. You need to fix that thing so that doesn't affect you. If being around those people affect you and makes you want to talk like them and dress like them and act like them, then you better not get with them. You just need to stay away from them. Just shun them. Don't have nothing to do with them. If being with them causes you to start committing adultery against the Word of God, run from that thing. If you're going somewhere, if a man's going somewhere and he's going there and he knows that a woman is trying to catch him, and he knows that when he goes there, he's not going to keep going there. He's not going to keep going there. He's going to say, no, I'm not going to go there. This is going to be a problem because she won't stop. She keeps on. So I'm not going to go there. See, a woman, the same thing. She goes to these places. That worldly stuff just keeps eating at her, and she wants to taste it. Stay away from it. Stay away from those things. It's the Spirit in you that's warning you and telling you to get away from it. Amen. Let us stand together. We'll dismiss in a word of prayer. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you and praise you. And Lord, we thank you for your bride, Lord, around the world who loves you, who loves the word, who loves this message, who loves revelation, Lord. And Lord, we know that it's grace. And Lord, that it's by faith that we're saved. Lord, that you've revealed yourself to your wife. And Father, it humbles us, Lord. It makes us know that we're nothing and that you're everything. And Lord, that you have so blessed us, Lord, to walk and to live in your presence. And Lord, to see, to be able to look and see a dying world going insane. And Lord, with people with intelligence so much greater than we have, but yet with such a perversion. And until in one sense they can be genius, in another sense they're completely insane, completely lost all moral sense, all sense of right and wrong. Father, help us and guide us, Lord. Let us be a light. Let us be an example. And Lord, right around the world, Lord, may you strengthen her and guide her and bless her. And Lord, help us to lift up one another, to support one another, to encourage one another. Lord, give, Lord, to your bride, those that are in need, Father. May you touch their bodies physically, spiritually, every way, Father, as we commit them to you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. God bless you.